Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My name's Catherine Carr, and this is Relatively, the podcast all about potentially the longest relationships of your life.
Karina?
Can you hear us both?
Okay, now we're here.
Maddie is the older sibling, tends to have to say to me, Marina, if you did that, you'd get in trouble. Like, you'd get in trouble. And I'm always like, come on, let's push it.
I'll be bringing siblings together to talk about the connections they have as adults, as well as what it was like growing up together. In this episode, we're talking to comedian Maddie Bye.
We obviously grew up in quite a strange place, but we were sort of surrounded by performers a lot.
Who forms a double act with her younger sister, Marina.
Our parents really encouraged us with our comedy. You know, the moment we did something funny, they would cackle, then they would film on several hundred different filming devices.
But I'll also talk to them separately to get a more private take on the relationship.
I think I treated Marina quite like a doll, like she was a little baby and I just made her do whatever I wanted. And I think she did it for a long time until she realised that she was her own human and she could get me back.
I was kind of a little chubby when I was younger. I looked like a little chubby American boy. And I think that she enjoyed using me as a kind of punching bag.
Brothers and sisters are never straightforward. Maddie and Marina's mum is the performer Ruby Wax and their dad is TV producer Ed Bye. They also have an older brother, Max.
We don't talk about him because we never get asked about him. He's not a comedian. He's like a big nerd.
The sisters perform under the stage name Siblings and have been encouraged by their parents from day one. We talk about that, their mum's depression, clown school, drama school, and career advice from Alan Rickman. But they started by describing what home life was like in the Wax Bye household.
Just nuts, yeah. There was a lot of big personalities over all the time because also our parents' careers kind of boomed when I was around 11 and Maddie was around 14. From what I remember, it was just loud people, you know, drinking, and nothing was ever normal. I'd never, ever come down to my parents sitting pleasantly saying please and thank you. There was always maybe something on fire, a pie on the ceiling that mum attempted to cook, a thespian in the corner doing Shakespeare. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah.
And tell me about being the youngest. Is that a role that you kind of fully inhabit?
I mean, it's interesting. We've had a very unique upbringing in terms of, you know, our family and the dynamics. And then we had some nannies, and I was very young when the nannies were around. So Maddie sort of experienced that more than I did in terms of being a human.
There were a lot of them. There were probably about 16 of them in total growing up, not at the same time. There was this one woman who lived with us for maybe like 3 to 4 years. I felt like she was kind of a sister. I think she was there at the perfect age for me. I think I was like 11 to 14 when she was there. So that age where you go to like big school and you start like growing triangle boobs and all those weird things start happening. We grew up with lots of different people.
Lots of different people, which is really, but that makes it life interesting.
It made it very exciting.
You know, sure, we didn't have the parents that made the packed lunches and dropped the kids early to school. We'd never really had that, but it, in a way, it kind of shaped what we are. We were very fortunate, and not one point did we ever complain, but it just meant that we had a very different life to other kids that we would see, where the mum would take them to, you know, tennis and then be at every event for all the mums to be with the mums. It was never that. Or mum would show up with Rupert Everett and they would be like laughing at something in the corner. But it was still fun.
But it also gave us a lot of material. I don't know whether some of our comedy comes from some of the people we grew up with. Because some of them were some serious characters.
Yeah.
Did you ever mind that it wasn't... I mean, it sounds much more fun. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. Did you ever mind? Was there a corner of your heart that maybe thought, you know, a packed lunch, however boring, and someone picking me up from ballet would be quite nice?
Well, of course. I think, you know, there are... Even though it was really fun, there are moments where you kind of... Everybody wants what they don't have, yeah. I guess, in that way. So there definitely were moments. Mm. Dad was quite... I remember Dad dropping me off at my first days of school and me screaming. Yeah. Crying. Yeah. He was sort of doing a bit of that.
It's a nice happy memory there.
Yeah, just me wailing.
That's when they stepped in, when we were having breakdowns. Yeah, I agree. I think obviously there were moments where I went, well, why hasn't mum met, you know, this person and where is she on sports days and stuff?
I do remember that going to my friend's house once when I was really young and her mum, when we came in, her mum like had laid out loads of Pringles and little sandwiches and then just sat and was like, so what's the goss? And I was like, what? Yeah. Why is your mum here? Like,
yeah.
What is this Pringle set up? I'm sort of staring at
it's like a first date.
Away.
Yeah, with a mum. It's so weird.
You've lived together your whole life, right?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we live together now.
Can you remember when she arrived?
Marina, there's stories of my brother trying to kill me when I was born, which I think is quite normal for like only child to them. There's like a new kid in town. But then I think we became really good friends because there's loads of really cute photos of me and my brother. And then my sister came and it just exploded the whole dynamic between us. And I think I treated Marina quite like a doll. She was a little baby and I just made her do whatever I wanted. And I think she did it for a long time until she realized that she was her own human and she could get me back for all the pranks that I played on her.
Yeah, well, I was kind of a little chubby when I was younger. I looked like a little chubby American boy. And I think that she enjoyed using me as a kind of punching bag, but not in a mean way, just finding it entertaining to sort of drag me about, throw me into certain situations. She made me once eat the world's spiciest crisps on a cruise ship. And that was the first time I ever threw up. So she sort of experimented things on me.
Oh my God, it's such a distant memory. But obviously for Marina, it's a scarring moment.
Well, it was the first time I ever vomited.
You know when you're an older sister or a sibling in general and you like, if you taste off milk, you have to get your sibling to taste it as well. I'm pretty sure that I did that. And I tried the crisps and hated them and then made Marina try them so that I wasn't alone.
I don't even know what the flavour was. Paprika, lemon and pumpkin pie or something.
It was from a ferry.
Yeah, and I was kind of chunky at the time, so I was like a garbage disposal.
She'd eat anything I gave her.
Yeah.
If the cuttings are to be believed, you kind of bundled her onto the stage, so you perhaps haven't quite given up the bossying around.
That's so true. It was me that made us do that. She like never did comedy before. I basically threw her on the stage one Edinburgh Fringe and was like, we're doing this, whereas I'd done it before. And I remember her face being grey, completely grey. She was so petrified. So I guess I still have the power.
She definitely is more of the one in charge with our comedy career. And I think if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have ended up doing it. So in that sense, yeah, she kind of drags me on and demands I have no dignity on stage. But luckily this time it worked and, you know, we got audience members instead of vomit.
I've always grown up, I think, a bit more immature than Marina. I guess the best way to describe it and what happened in our lives is that I ended up as an adult going to clown school for 2 years and Marina at the same time went to drama school for 2 years. So that pretty much sums us up, I think.
When you were kids, did you I mean, were you a double act? The younger two sisters with an older brother, Max, were you kind of a little unit who used to horse around together all the time?
Always, yeah. I think we weirdly had it in us when we were really young. We used to go on really long car journeys with our parents. We would pass the time just playing loads of characters. And like when we met people, we would do their accents and just nobody we met was safe really from us like weirdly playing them. And so we would spend these car journeys just like making up characters and songs.
Okay. Sail and five of beep. Fall down with Shaq. Who where right Shaq? God damn it, it's a Shaggy Shaq. We all want a feet. It's down the river. Shaq. So cold to bring. A jacket, it's a Shaggy Shaq.
That's it.
So the whole point is you're not supposed to understand any of it. But we're basically playing two southern men who run a fishing shop.
One of the lyrics is, we all want a fear. It's down the river.
Yeah, yeah. We're completely mentally troubled and we're wearing fake teeth and the whole point is people aren't really meant to understand what that is.
I mean, we do it all the time, I think, to escape into humour. I think it's really stuck with us from when we were little. We won't do you, I promise.
I would be highly flattered if you didn't.
One of the best reviews we ever got was our first year of doing it, or maybe it was the second, but we did this little sketch in a night in Brighton, a like late night rowdy cabaret. And someone wrote about it and they said, oh, siblings, they came on, and then I thought, oh god, here's another like sketch. We were playing two Australians, like, welcome to Channel 4 Haunted Houses. And then it suddenly takes this turn where like we're just
filth. It just becomes
filth, absurdity, death, murder, everything happens. Because I was so surprised about this twist.
Maddie, as the older sibling, tends to have to say to me, Marina, if you did that, you'd get in trouble. And I'm always like, come on, let's push it. And I reckon if Maddie didn't take control, we would be in prison. So that's a classic example of an older sibling going, even in the anarchy, saying, you can't do that.
Pull it back.
Pull it back, yeah.
I think that as well, our dad really inspired that. You know, he's worked with some great comedians who are just like Rick Mayall and
French and Saunders,
and he did Bottom and stuff like that. So we also grew up watching all of that. A lot of that shaped it as well. You know, throwing yourself downstairs on fire and falling through ceilings. We loved that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And so where does this confidence come from? Is it like DNA from your mum and your dad? Because your mum's a performer, so she must have something in her makeup that gives her confidence on stage. Or is the fact that you perform together as siblings, do you get your confidence from that kind of safety?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think we obviously grew up in quite a strange place, but we were sort of surrounded by performers a lot.
Our parents really encouraged us. You know, the moment we did something funny, they would cackle, then they would film on several hundred different filming devices.
So we got inspired, I think, from a really young age to be like silly and being around people who are just really free. So we had that. And then I do think it has something to do with being together on stage, because even now, the idea, I mean, I really want to try it one day, but the idea of being on my own, I have so much respect for people who just go on stage, do it themselves, and then go back to their dressing room on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that alone is so frightening. Also, I think Maddie and I are quite good at failing. Maddie learned in clown school for a year how to fail.
2 years.
And 2 years. And I just know how to fail because I want to be an actor. So that's that. We're just quite tough in that way anyway. And I remember Maddie, I remember we did one of our first gigs and I said, oh my God, that audience, none of them have a sense of humor. What were they expecting to see? You know, and Maddie was the one that said to me, never ever blame an audience ever because it's got nothing to do with them. And I remember I got so angry, but then I slowly realized that, oh yeah, you can never do that. It's never the audience's fault. She's taught me things that I didn't know, and perhaps I've taught her some things that she didn't know. Maybe like projection, consonants. Also, you've got to have a little bit of chutzpah when you're on the stage, and we can control the most obnoxiously rowdy crowds because we're not, I don't think we're scared of it knowing we're side by side.
And I wonder as well, having those parents gives you an innate sense of value in being an entertainer. Whereas if you were the, you know, two daughters of an insurance salesman and a, I don't know, a district nurse, they might find it hard to give you confidence in the value of what you're about to do or the possibility that it might actually work.
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird because we don't really have, I don't know how to have anything to compare it to apart from our sort of strange parents. I think they actually, when we were younger, really were like, don't be a comedian. Because I think it's such a tough industry and you do get rejection. And especially with comedy, there's such a nervousness about it, which actually I think I might be addicted to, where like one day your show could be amazing and the next day you could just completely flop.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying. So I think they were like, don't do it.
Yeah.
But they are actually really supportive and they're like, okay, well, there's no stopping them because we're like grown-ups now.
What could you do to Marina in, you know, like in a heartbeat? What button could you press to really wind her up?
That's such a good question. I haven't done that in a really long time. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I think ultimately, if I try and do it, she'll probably join in and then we'd end up doing some sort of weird character. I don't know how or why it happens or makes sense. It must be like a sibling thing.
I definitely like to indulge in emotional conversation where I really like to talk in serious depth about my feelings. And I think that can irritate her because she's much more, I'd say, private or at least talks to her friends over me about that kind of stuff. And I can see that when I prod and push a bit, it tends to piss her off a little bit.
Marina can ask me about my breakups.
You hate her. And she disappears.
It's so true.
I shout through the door, well, good chat, Maddie.
Yeah, she does.
I'm quite a lot older than you, I think, and grew up watching your mum on telly and finding her hilarious. And then when she started to sort of go public about the troubles that she had with her mental health and stuff. And as siblings, when there's a trauma, you can push apart from each other or you can pull together. I was wondering what happened to your sibling dynamic during those years.
I think it started when I think I was like 13 or something, so I don't really recall what we were doing. We all come together as a family.
Yeah, I think it was more our dad who kind of led the way with all of that stuff and sort of took control. Maddie was, you know, much older and doing rebellious things, and I was just like this piece of cotton wool. And then obviously it just became a very normal thing for us, and it's kind of celebrated now because she's a spokeswoman for mental illness. So it's never really been something very traumatic for us. I mean, it would have been when we were younger, but then, you know, that's when Dad would say, you know, this is normal and, you know, you don't need to freak out and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that there's like positives in it. Obviously, it's such like a horrible thing, but there's positives in it in the sense that we grew up, there was no taboo words about mental health in our upbringing, and that's like really part of our personalities. We talk about mental health so much growing up that it just became like, what are we having for dinner?
Yeah.
Would be the same conversation as like talking about mental health.
Mm.
And then for our mum to sort of create a show as being like a comedian and talking about mental health and her experience in a way that was like funny and also really easy to understand rather than like a science book, I thought was quite like revolutionary. And then and,
also like I struggle from anxiety and had to, you know, go on meds and stuff for that, and had mum not been so involved in this whole world, I would have honestly not known what to do. And you know, but I just literally called her and said, what do I do? And she said this, this, and this. So the rare example of one of her children actually having a mental health problem, it was incredibly handy in that circumstance.
I think the way you described her as revolutionary is so true, because now, especially during this year, we've become much more aware and much more sensitive and much kinder about mental health. But when your mum was going through it and I was younger, that was not the case. People were not kind and understanding. No. And so what she did was extraordinary, really. And helping you with your anxiety is just an extension of that. She really pushed it on.
Yeah, and it's, and I think it's amazing because you see in the last couple of years in Edinburgh especially, comedy shows have changed so much, like Hannah Gatsby's show, which won Best Comedy. Now it's being talked about in this quite strange place, which is stand-up comedy. I find that so interesting and like so intriguing that people are using comedy to talk about something that actually every single person, I think, is dealing with and or is like dealing with a family member or a friend or something.
And the darkest things in life can always be easily expressed through comedy, you know. People always make jokes in the darkest of times because it's like, well, there's only one way to get out of this feeling and it's up. So comedy really helps. Comedy really, really helps with that.
And finally, is it true that it wasn't just your parents that encouraged you into comedy, but also your godfather, Alan Rickman, had something to do with it?
Yeah, I was so incredibly lucky to have that man as my godfather. I mean, not only is he sort of like the world genius, but he was heavily in our lives. I mean, as a grown-up especially. And he took me to play one night and then we went for dinner afterwards with all his sort of really luxurious friends. And I was the only kind of kid at the table and I felt very cool. And then he said, you know, what are you going to do with your future? I was working in PR at the time and I really enjoyed it, but I was like really early 20s, I was like 22 or something. And I said, well, there's this clown school that I found. And then they all started going around the table and said, like, these are really like amazing actors and like writers. And they're all going around the table saying like what they regretted not doing when they were younger. And they'd come across a similar thing and didn't do it. Mm. And they were all banging on the table saying, do it, do it. All led by Alan. And he was like, I've seen this man, you have to go. And then whenever I was scared or like I couldn't get on the train to go there, I would call him and he'd be like, get on the train. He just knew that that was your what calling. I had to do. Yeah. And he was right.
I mean, Alan for us was like, oh God, I'm actually getting kind of emotional.
Are you?
Yeah. he was just everything and more. And not only for me, Max and Maddie, but because he didn't have kids. So he
didn't
would
really have kids.
He didn't really know. He didn't have them. He don't really not have kids. he kind of dispelled all his knowledge and passion into so many young people. I have a really good friend of mine. You know, he gave her advice about being a playwright and now she's at Trinity doing a playwriting course. And it's kind of all these things that my young friends around me have started doing who knew Alan. There will always be a mention of him in their process of like why they kind of ended up doing it, because he just really listened and invested in everyone and really helped steer them creatively, which I thought was incredible.
At his memorial, I mean, it became obvious there were just, you know, young actor after young actor coming up and saying, Alan changed my life. And I was like, I'm not the only one. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of us.
Yeah.
It sounds like when you describe that whatever losses there were in terms of Pringle setups and pickups are amply compensated by figures like that.
A big time. Yeah,
agree.
My mum is small and very cute, so she gets most of it. Barnacle Boy, Wide-Eyed Eagle, those go often to her.
My two front teeth protruded out of my mouth, like completely diagonal. There was a day when my dad once called me the bottle opener because my face was like a bottle opener. So my sister called me Beaver or something.
I forgot Beaver. Yeah. I think because I was the master of nicknames, the master was never...
We didn't approach the throne.
Questioned, yeah.
Thank you to Maddie and Marina. Thank you too to Tanita Tikaram, who let us use this amazing song. Sound design is by Nick Carter at Nick Sonics and digital production by Charlotte Griffiths. Next week, it's the Nike running coach Corey Wharton Malcolm and his little sister Janine. They talk about identity, ideas of home and how to take a stand. Thank you too for listening. If you want to see some really sweet pictures of Maddie and Marina or find out more about the podcast, head to relativelypodcast.com. There's a good tradition of love and hate. Staying by the fireside, there's a good tradition of love and hate. Staying by the fireside, now the rain may fall. Your father's calling you, you still feel safe inside. Although your mom's too proud, your brother's ignoring you. You still feel safe inside. Oh, was it solo? Was it yesterday? Was it true for you? 'Cause while all the rest had taken time, this didn't do enough for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.